And take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. The book of Genesis, chapter number 1. And continuing a series of messages we've been preaching. The Lord's laid heavy on our heart dealing with this thing of spiritual warfare. And Lord willing, this morning, unless God gives me some other stuff between now and then, this will be one of the last messages where we're looking at the enemy and looking at Satan and what he's been trying to do. We've looked at Satan's story and how he began and the process of him throughout the Bible and things he's been trying to accomplish. We've looked at his strategy and his subverting, and we've looked at his seduction, and last week we looked at his subtlety. And this morning, for a few minutes, I want to look at Satan's success. It's hard to think about Satan being successful, but he has been successful. But I'm thankful that it doesn't end in success for him. And it doesn't have to end in success for you either. And so we're going to look at that this morning for a few minutes. Genesis chapter number 1, all the things we've been looking at about the enemy. And we're trying to build up to the armor of God and see why it's so very important that we put it on and put it on every single day. And so Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 31, if you found your place, say amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 31. The Bible says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God created everything. He created it, and he saw that it was very good." And I'm thankful that what God does is very good. Amen. What we do at times is not very good unless God's in it. But God, everything that he does is very good. And the devil, he wanted to be in charge, and he wanted to be the one to get credit for things. And so he tried to take something that God made that was very good, and he tried to mess it up. Now look with me in verse number 6 of chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. And we'll read down to verse number 11, and we'll get into the message. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Brother Bowen, would you stand and pray and ask God to bless the message this morning?
Father, thank you again for preaching. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you're just using this morning. Lord, I pray that you're just guiding, directing things that you should say, things that you should preach. Lord, I pray that your word will deepen our hearts, Lord, convict us, and draw us closer to you. What's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we've looked at all the things that I mentioned a second ago about Satan, and all of the things and the strategies and the subverting and seductions and subtlety. And he did all those things to try to be successful in ruining something that God made that was very good. And God established a home, and he established marriage, and he established the parents to train up their children, and he established the church. The home is God's first institution. The home, marriage, is God's institution that he instructed, and what he gave. The church is an institution God gave. God put so much emphasis on marriage and the home in the Bible. Churches are only as good as the families and the homes that make them up. God has so much emphasis on the home and marriage that, man, this thing towards the end ends up with a marriage. Amen. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And God puts a lot on those things. And the devil has tried to ruin God's creation and to ruin mankind. We looked at for several weeks on Paul trying to warn the church about the subtlety of Satan and not being ignorant of his devices. And we've looked at those things. And I want to encourage you this morning, church, that as I preach through these things, I'm not trying to be mean or hateful. I'm trying to be warning. And I don't want to be a pastor that just is a flash in a pan. So what is that? I don't want it to be just get up here and make noise and do it from week to week. But I want it something that will be lasting. Something that will help a home and a family and a marriage. Something that God can use and God can bless. But Satan does not approve of anything that goes on at our church. If he did approve of it, we'd be doing something wrong. Amen. We'd be doing something wrong. He doesn't approve of it. And God has tried to make things that are very good. And God wants to take our church and he wants to do something very good with our church. And he wants to do something very good with the homes of our church. But Satan is trying his best to ruin that. He took what God created to be very good and he used his strategy and his seduction and his subtlety, he used that to try to be successful, and he established a timeless pattern of temptation from the very beginning. You see that his strategy from the beginning that we've been looking at is not just end with Adam and Eve, but it still continues today, and it still carries on today. Yeah. The same exact plan. It's a timeless pattern that he came up with here and that he tried to use to ruin mankind. You know, just about every advertisement that you watch, and man, I tell you what, one of the biggest blessings in our home was moving out in the middle of the woods with no internet. Amen? We don't watch TV, and when we do, we have to use a hotspot on a phone, and it doesn't work most of the time. So we just don't, and it has been a blessing to our home. Amen. I thank God for it. But advertisements, you think about just about any advertisement that's trying to get you to sell or get you to buy something, they use the strategy the devil used. Just think about it for just a second. They use the same exact strategy. Look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 5 again. I know we looked at this last week, and I'm not going to preach all this right now, but I just want to understand that the devil, he's using the same exact strategy. Today, in a lot of the advertisements that you see on television or on billboards, they're using the same exact strategy. Genesis chapter 3 verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Every single beer commercial, every cigarette commercial, which they took those off the TV, I guess, years ago, they took that. They said it was harmful, I guess, but I guess the beer's not harmful. Amen. Ask those guys this morning that are laying down there at Jimmy Hill Mission trying to get a meal this morning that lost their family and their career over that. But all those commercials and all the clothing commercials and all the advertisement today, they're trying to advertise for a new car and they've got to put a woman on there that's not dressed. Amen. All these things, all this, they get the pattern, the strategy. If somebody wants to be a good salesperson, they need to study exactly what Satan did here in the garden. Because he sold them a bill of goods and they bought it. That's exactly what took place there. You got companies like Bud Dumber. It never makes you wiser. They can't call it Budweiser, amen? Bud Dumber. And they got all these commercials and they've got these things and they got this horse in the field and they got the good time and the party and the lights and all these things. There's an agenda behind every bit of it. There's an agenda. Prescription medicines, man. You can't watch any kind of television show without at least two or three different prescription medicine commercials. I mean, no matter what you watch, no matter what channel it is, there's going to be prescription medicine, and about half of the commercials are going to be for prescription medicine. I mean, one that we see and hear about a lot. And again, we don't really watch TV much anymore, and thank God for it. But one of the ones I used to hear all the time, and I hear a lot of God's people taking this, is antidepressants. Antidepressants. And I know it's going to get tight in here and quiet down, but the devil's not happy with it. But antidepressant medicine. There's medicines that try to make you feel better about yourself. That's what the antidepressant medicines are. Make you feel better about yourself. Make you live longer. Make you live longer. Years ago, a man that I work with, Brother Bobby knows him real well, he forgets a lot of things. And he said, man, I finally got some medicine to help me remember things. It's called Focus Factor. He said, we need to try some Focus Factor. And so he went out and got this Focus Factor. He had me order it for him on Amazon. And it came in and he had it. And the very next day, he said, hey, I need to take my medicine and take my Focus Factor. I said, well, take it. What's the problem? I don't remember where I put it. Yeah. Amen. All these commercials. I'm getting somewhere. All these commercials, all these things are to make you feel better about yourself. Can I read you the side effects of antidepressants? These are side effects of antidepressants. Diarrhea. That's depressing. Weight gain. That's depressing. Sleepiness. Panic attacks. Sexual problems. Aggressive behavior. Nausea. Vomiting. Anger. Violence. New or worsening anxiety. Suicide attempts. New or worsening depression. Insomnia. Irritability. Acting on dangerous impulses. Thoughts of suicide or dying. Agitation or restlessness. Change in behavior or mood. Increased activity or talking mania. Those are the side effects of antidepressants. And those are also the side effects of about every other medicine you take. I mean, they used to have in the commercials where they had the fastest talker in the world. Amen. Sometimes it was men, but that surprised me. I thought it would always be a woman. But they'd get on there, and they'd run through all the side effects, and they'd have it on the bottom of the screen about that big. And man, you had to get your glasses out, and you missed it. You didn't even know what they were. But they said that was illegal. So now they just tell you in a calm voice, with beautiful music and birds playing, this will cause diarrhea and thoughts of suicide. Consult your doctor before you take it, or you might want to kill yourself. And somebody's sitting there, and they didn't hear any of that. All they heard was, that's going to make me look younger. That's going to make me feel better about myself. Amen. That's a magic pill where I'm going to lose weight. That's the fountain of youth. You say, what are you getting at? I'm saying they're using the same subscription that Satan used. They're using the same exact thing. You know, there's billions of dollars spent annually. Billions upon billions spent annually on instant self-improvement. Amen? I want it now. I want to take a pill to fix everything right now. So what are you getting at? That's the sales pitch that the devil gave to Eve. All the things he did to be able to convince Eve that God really wasn't true, and all the subtlety and all the subverting and all the things that we mentioned, all those things boils down to instant self-improvement. It's all right there in the verse. I'm going to give it to you. You know, years ago, we got away from the Bible. The church is the home. They got away from the Bible. They got away from family devotion. They got away from preaching in the pulpit. They got away from those things and began to look elsewhere for instant gratification. They want a pill. And I promise you, if you want a pill, you'll find a doctor that'll give you one. You don't have to look very far. You'll find a doctor that they'll give you a pill. Man, I thank God that years ago I swallowed the gospel, and all of a sudden I fell in love with my Bible and God in it, and God just happens. Hey, I've got peace, and I've got joy, and I've got those things that come from the Word of God. And every time I neglect the book, and every time I get away from it, hey, but my old stinking flesh gets me in trouble every time. And I'm thankful for the precious Word of God. I'm thankful for it. People lack the patience to let God teach and develop them. They lack the patience. Hey, there's that old song, take time to be holy. Amen. You got a problem this morning? Hey, the devil wants you to find some instant gratification, some way to fix it quickly. But I'm telling you this morning, God just wants you to spend time with Him. Just like He wanted to spend time with Adam and Eve in the garden. Psalms chapter 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The first thing that we see that's in all these commercials and the same thing the devil's trying to do today that he did back here. Number one is the gratification factor. The gratification factor. There in verse number 6, it said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. You know, the first thing she thought is it'll taste good. Now, you say, well, the woman did that. The devil started way before this. Getting her to think all these things. Just like he does in our home. Just like he does with our children. Just like he says, hey, that looks good. That doesn't look like it'll hurt anything. The tree looked like it was good for food. The gratification factor. It'll taste good. It'll make me feel better. It'll make me feel better about myself. Hey, I think that tree there, that God told me not to eat of it, hey, I think that it'll make me feel better about myself. I think it'll leave me satisfied. That's the same thing we see today in most Christian homes. They're looking for something to try to fill a void that the void is the Word of God's not there. We used to have family devotion. We used to read our Bible and we used to spend time in God's Word. And now we're on Facebook and on all these social media platforms and we're trying to find some gratification. We're trying to find somebody to say they like me. We're trying to find somebody to tell me that I look okay. We're trying to find somebody that tells me that I'm okay with the sin that I'm in. We're finding somebody to hit the like button and the comment and we're looking for gratification. In all the wrong places. That's exactly what's going on in our homes. Just want to feel good about ourselves. Just want to be satisfied. You know, every single one of those people that take pictures of themselves and they post them on there trying to get so many likes, they got to keep taking pictures and keep taking pictures. And one day that beauty's going to go away. And what are you left with? There was a pastor not long ago that we heard about that a good independent Bible-believing Baptist church. I mean, he would preach the house down and he got into bodybuilding and now he's running around the country in a thong, posing and bodybuilding and all those kind of things. Walked away from a great work of God and God moving in his family and church. And I'm telling you one day, my dad said this the other day, said, hey, he looks good now and he looks good at their poses. He's making some money now, but all that's going to go away. Look at some of them great bodybuilders and people that have been put on a pedestal. Hey, they're old now and they're wrinkly. If that was their gratification, they don't have nothing else to live for. So guess what they're doing? They're taking antidepressants and they're taking all these medicines to try to give them instant relief because whatever they had. The Bible tells us that beauty's vain. If you're married, I don't know who's watching online or in here. If you're married just because you think somebody's attractive and that's a part of it, but that's the only reason that goes away. Amen. And the devil's always trying to put something in. And not only for the gratification factor, but just like I just said, the aesthetic factor. Look there in verse number 6. Are y'all still with me? We're talking about the devil's success, Satan's success. He got her to think about some things that she should never been contemplating. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Not only was there a gratification, it looked like good food, but it was aesthetic. It was pleasant to the eyes. You say, what does that mean? I'm talking about if I just had that dress, or if I just had those shoes, or if I just had that truck, or if I just had that car, if I just had this thing, if just wearing it or just doing it will make me look good. Amen? It'll just make me look good. It'll make me feel better about myself. That's what the devil wants us to think. And you've got parents today that take their little kids, and they'll take their little precious angels, those little girls that God gave them, just, man, full of purity and just beautiful that God gave them, and they'll take them and they'll stick them in these worldly pageants.
Amen.
And they'll dress them up, and they'll put makeup on them, and they'll put so much makeup on them as a child that they have to wear when they get old because their face is messed up. Why? Because it makes them look good. And we're teaching our little girls at a young age that they have to wear makeup to make themselves look better than what God made them.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We've got to put earrings on them. Little babies can earrings put on, and they're wearing makeup, and they're dressing them up in all these costumes, and we're trying to tell them what the devil wants them to think, that they're not good enough. And then we wonder why all these years later they're on these apps like TikTok and on social media, and they're dancing and they're doing all this stuff, and all they want is for somebody to say, I love you. All they want is for somebody to say, I approve of you. That's all they desire.
Right.
And from a child, we were telling them that the way they look and the way they were born is not good enough.
Right.
And
the aesthetic value. She said, oh, that's pleasant to the eyes. Adam, if I only had that dress. Adam said, if I only had that gun. If I only had that truck. I know it's quiet here. So that's what God told me to preach.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Satan's success in our families and in our home has been to try to get us to think that we have to have something other than God or what God gave us in order to be happy. But that's just not the truth. All these beautiful young ladies we have in here, young men, man, thank God for them. They have their purity and their innocence.
Yeah.
And the devil wants you to mark them up, and he wants you to make them up and all these things. And then years later, they feel like they've got to get ink run all over them. And they feel like they've got to have all this makeup and all this stuff and all this jewelry and all these shoes. And if they don't have it, they won't be accepted. I'm telling you, just fall in love with Jesus. And what He's given you is enough. And God will supply all your needs.
Yeah.
Well, parents, how are we raising them? Are we raising them to ask them every time we turn around what they want? Are we raising them every time we turn around we're asking them what they want? Are we raising them to tell them they're not good enough because of the things that He said we have to wear this, we got to put that on? They get in all these little pageants, and I'm telling you, they're sticking these little girls up there, and I think they finally did away with the bathing suit thing for the little girls. I hope they did. The perverts want to bring it back, but they'll put them up there parading in front of everybody for people to judge them.
And
that is wicked as the devil itself, and that's exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then they grow up and they want to be a part of these schools and stuff and be majorettes and all these things. And it's always for some kind of approval.
Right.
And we're teaching them that the way God made us not good enough.
Right.
And then you got people that commit suicide, all these things, because, man, there was a little precious girl a few years ago that I knew dearly. I knew her parents and stuff. She killed herself, found all these notes talking about how she wasn't good enough. I'm ugly. She was a beautiful young lady. Who told her that? The devil. You say, is it her parents' fault? I don't know anything about her parents. But I know these little girls that grow up and their parents are trying to throw them out there in front of everybody with these pageants, and they're trying to do all these things, and they're wanting to take pictures of them all the time on social media and see how many likes they can get. They're putting the wrong idea in their child's head. I was with a couple not long ago with them and their kids, and they're constantly taking... I'm not against taking pictures of kids. We need to do a better job at it. We do. We've got a million pictures of Ella and only a couple of Emma. We got to do a better job at that, amen? But we're not going to be accused of being vain. But I was with this family not long ago, and every 5 minutes, the wife is handing her husband the phone, and she's doing some crazy pose. I looked at him, I said, Lord, what are you doing, man? Are you her professional photographer? Every time she snapped her finger, he'd run over there and smile as she'd hold up the thing. What is it? It's instant gratification. Oh, I only got 20 likes on here. There must be something wrong with me. We're talking about Satan's success. You say, well, you're talking about social media. It's a problem. That computer and that television and that phone has been what the devil has used over these years to destroy children. You know, most children have seen more violence and killing and bloodshed by the time they're 10 years old than some people do in war.
Right.
And they're desensitized to it. And parents, we handed it to them. The aesthetic factor. It'll make you feel better about yourself. You'll become more acceptable to the other. It was pleasant to the eyes. What do all these commercials do? It'll make you feel better and it'll make you look better. These Budweiser. What they don't show you is the guy's broke as a joke and he's got a toothless woman next to him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth. Why? Because they're both drunks.
Yeah.
And he beats on her.
Yeah.
But that commercial shows you, man, they're having a good time and they look good.
Yeah.
And they look good. It'll make you more acceptable to others. Not only is there a gratification factor, an aesthetic factor, and a self-improvement factor. Self-improvement. Look at verse number 6. It was pleasant to the eyes there in the middle of the verse, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. You'll be a better person if you have this. I'm telling you what, a television, a phone has never made a better person out of anybody. Never. So why do you keep hitting that? Hold your place there. I got to hurry. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 real quickly. Hold your place there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to show you something that Brother Ken McDonald, he's an evangelist down in South Alabama somewhere, was at this meeting. And I got done preaching on Friday night. And he came up to me and he gave me this verse and he told me something I've never thought of. And I said, you know what? That's exactly right. Look here with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've been preaching on the... Hey, if you listen to Lester Roloff preach, he's preaching on television every time he gets up.
Amen.
Amen. You say, are you going to do that? I don't know. We got a problem with it, though.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter number 4. And look at verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. These are Christians. They're Christian homes. They're saved people that are departing from the faith. Giving heed. You know what that means? That means paying attention to. It means entertaining. It means thinking about. It means fellowshipping with. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're talking about Christian homes, mom and dads that know better, that are saved. Speaking, verse 2, lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That preacher walked up to me. He said, Brother Andrew, appreciate the message. That was good preaching. Let me ask you a question. He said, I ask all preachers this. I'm not just pointing you out. The last days, perilous times are going to come and things are going to wax worse and worse. And the Bible says that they're going to give heed to seducing spirits. I'm talking about saved people in church. I mean, that they know the book and yet they allow things to come in their home. He said, what does that mean? Their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? I've never thought about it. Because he asked what most preachers say. They never thought about it. He said, do you know that every electronic device has got a board in it? And it has iron in it? And when it's turned on, it's hot iron. Oh, is that what Paul was talking about? I think so.
Amen.
Back then, I would have been something different, but my Bible's relevant today.
Amen.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And they're giving heed to this stuff. They're paying attention to it. And every time you turn on that phone, every time you go on social media, or turn on that television, your conscience is being seared with a hot iron.
Amen.
Every single time. They call them television programs. What does that mean? You're being programmed.
Right.
It's been going on for a long time. You say, Brother Adrian, why are you preaching on this stuff? I'm telling you, the devil's destroying homes, and he's doing this stuff right here. And right now, in my day, when I'm pastoring, when I'm preaching, it's because of that social media, it's because of the phone, it's because of the television and all these things that people are being programmed and their conscience is being seared with a hot iron. The preacher will study and pray all week and try to get the mind of God and get up and preach. And there's people that sit in the pews and all they can think about is how many likes they got on a post on Facebook. Or they'll get mad or they'll say, well, the church down the road's not preaching that way. My preacher looks like the peeps from the Easter Bunny threw up all over him. He's pretty. Satan went after the gratification factor, the aesthetic factor, self-improvement. That's exactly what commercials do today, and that's exactly what the devil's doing today. You know, these toys, all these things, you better watch out with the toys that you give your kids. If they're teaching them that they're not good enough. When God created it, He said it was very good. And children, I'm telling you today, God loves you. This church, I love you. And you're not good all the time. Sometimes you got to go out and get disciplined. Amen. Oh, but my, when the Lord created you, He said you're very good.
Amen.
You're very good.
Amen.
I want to tell you, God loves you.
Amen.
And God wants the absolute best for you.
Amen.
I want all the kids in here to know that. God wants the best for you. God wants the best for His children.
Amen.
The absolute best. And parents, you better make Jesus look beautiful to them. Man, that's our job. I want to see these kids get saved at a young age and fall in love with God. I pray over every one of these kids in here and every one of these adults. And I pray that God would save them at a young age and He'd fall in love with them. But the only way they're going to fall in love with Him is if parents, if we make Him look beautiful. Oh, He's everything. He's altogether lovely. He's wonderful. He's the rose of Sharon. The lily of the valley. Amen. We have to preach on all these hard things sometimes to try to get your eyes off of that, to get your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
He's everything.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart that we have people that say they're a part of our church and they're not faithful to church. And man, because of their self-righteousness, because of their pride, because of their sin, they're willing to let their kids die and go to hell. You say, that's hard, Brother Andrew. Oh, then they don't care anything about raising their children in church because of sin. Selfish, ignorant sin.
Right.
And pride. And they're willing to just let them die and go to hell. That breaks my heart. Why? Because of sin. Just foolish sin. Why did Eve and Adam fall here in the garden? Because of foolish sin. Because of some kind of satisfaction. That was the introduction. I'm going to give you this fast.
Yeah.
Satan's success caused. I got just a couple things right here and I'll give them to you and I'll stop. Satan's success caused a few things. Because he was successful, number one, it caused separation from guiltlessness. You say, what does that mean? It caused separation from their innocence. From their innocence. Look at verse number 7 really quickly. Back in Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 7. The Bible said, the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. They were no longer innocent. They were no longer pure. They were no longer holy because they allowed sin and the devil successfully separated them from those things. You know what sin will do for you? Sin will fill you up with pride and it'll steal your innocence.
Yeah.
The first time you ever
committed a major sin as a child or looked at something you knew you were not supposed to look at, it stole some of your innocence. It stole some of your purity. And why in the world would a foolish, ignorant parent hand their child a device or put them in a situation where the devil could take their purity? Why in the world would they do that? Some of you folks in here tonight, or this morning as I preach, sometimes you have to fight your flesh because there's memories and there's things that flood your mind. There's images that pop up in your mind from where the devil took your innocence. Pictures and things that you've seen and music that you've heard. Why in the world would we not protect our children against that? So they got to learn sometime. We ain't going to be in my house. Amen? I don't want it to be in my house. I don't want the devil nowhere near us. Satan's success caused separation from guiltlessness, from their innocence. Not only that, but man, this is tragic. Satan's success caused separation from God. Look there in verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" You know what Satan was successful in doing? Through all the subverting and all the subtlety and all these things, he was able to get them to separate from their Creator. Man, what a sad thing. What a sad thing. The fellowship with God was broken. And that's exactly what sin will do to us. It'll separate us from fellowship with God. It'll separate us from fellowship with Him. Our prayer won't be the same. Our Bible reading won't be the same. It'll separate. Sin will take all those things from you. What a sad, sad commentary. A separation from God. You know what's sad? That there's people that have grown up in church and they've seen the power and the presence of God. But their kids will never see it. Why? Because sin separated them from God. Dr. Alan Jones said sin did not alienate God from man. It alienated man from God. Amen. I'm going to try to hurry. I'm losing some of you. Sin will degrade your intellect and alienate you from fellowship with God. Not only did it separate them from God, it separated them from guiltlessness, it took away their innocence, but it separated them from God's Word. In verse number 11, he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" Hey, they separated from God's Word. Not only that, verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Not only will it separate you from God and His Word, it'll separate you from your family. Amen. Sin will separate you from your family. It'll cause divorce. It'll cause division. It'll separate you from your church family. It causes problems. I'm telling you, Satan's success and all these things causes problems. It causes separation. And not only that, but last of all, it'll separate you from the gifts of God. What do you mean? I'm not going to read it all for sake of time, but verse number 14 through verse number 19, God began to talk about all the things that they lost because of sin. In pain and sorrow, the woman would have childbearing. And now she would have to submit to her husband and him alone, and he will rule over her. Amen. Evidently, before that, they didn't have that. Amen. I'm not going to submit to my husband. Blame Eve. Amen. Blame Adam and Eve. In sweat, you're going to work the ground and thorns and thistles and all the blessings of God. But sin separated them from those gifts from God. Yeah. And if you're not careful, sin will separate you from the good things God's done for you.
I mean, they had the entire garden to themselves. And at the end of the day, the Bible said that God looked down at man and said, they're as us, knowing good and evil. And He had to remove them from the garden. And now He took them out of the place that God created for them. And now Adam and Eve's family, Adam and Eve's boys, they never got to walk in that garden. They never got to spend time with God in the cool of the day. They never got to fellowship with God the same way their parents did. Sin. And now they got two boys and one of them killed the other one. Sin. And it'll cause problems. So, Brother Andrew, you're preaching to the choir. We're here this morning. I'm trying to warn you, stay right with Him.
Amen.
And there's little things in our homes and in our lives that we need to get fixed. Because that's all the devil needs is little things.
Amen.
Billy Sunday said one reason sin flourishes is that it is treated like a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake. And isn't that the truth?
Amen.
We don't think twice about sin and things like that. Miss Sarah, will you come to the piano? I know what time it is. Satan's success of separation has been his plan from day one, and it has not changed. He wants to separate you from God so he can get your family, get your home, and get your marriage. And he's used that strategy, and now it's the strategy used by commercials all over the place. Sin, separation from God will cause you to alienate God, alienate from your family, your church. Turn to James chapter 4, verse number 7, real quick. James chapter 4, verse number 7. James chapter 4, verse number 7. So what do we do, preacher? What do we do about this thing? Well, first thing we need to do is get rid of that sin. And if there's something in our heart and in our lives that's not pleasing to God, we just need to get rid of it. Don't let that conscience be seared with that hot iron. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Look what it says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Church, we can't have it both ways. We can't have all the vanity and all the self-improvement and all the self-gratification. And we can't, hey, out of our mouth is blessings and cursings. We can't do it that way. We can't have posts about me and how great I am and all these things and very next one about how good God is. And we want people to know where we are every minute of the day. I'm at the doctor. I'm at the gym. I'm at this place. I'm at this restaurant. Look at this plate of food that I have. Amen. Oh, this is...
Man, come on, brother.
The same. We can't have it both ways.
Amen.
Is God sufficient or is He not sufficient?
Amen.
I'll tell you, as things wax worse and worse, it's going to be harder on us if we're not just falling in love with Jesus. That verse gives us the recipe on how to deal with what we're dealing with. And I know we're going to get to the body of armor later. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. All this good time and ha ha and everything's so funny. We ought to have a broken heart over what's going on and over sin. Your joy to heaven is humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Everybody knows the verse of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Everybody, you look on Facebook and every so-called Christian is praying for this and praying for that and praying for this and please pray for my stomach, please pray for my soul, please pray for my husband. But nobody wants to do the other part. If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways.
Amen.
They don't want to repent. You see,
We want all the pleasures of life, and we want to enjoy holidays like Halloween, and we want to enjoy all the gratification of look at us, and look at my beauty, and hey, all these apps, they got things on there that if you're uglier than a mud fence, it'll make you look like an angel. All these filters, all these things, all the self-gratification. And we want to pray. But we don't want to repent. The recipe here, we like to quote, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And thank God for it. Resist the devil. But we want to stop the verse right there, and we don't want to cleanse our hands. Church, we need God.
Amen.
And I want to see God do something with these sleeping boys up here. Amen. And these girls back here. I want to see God use it for his glory and his honor. I don't want to see their innocent soul, their purity. But this is going to start with some parents getting right, some things right with God. Some grandparents, some people that just want to seek his face.
Let's all stand as Miss Sarah plays. What about it, church? Did God speak to your heart? I'm not going to beg anybody down here. If the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart, obey, respond to him. And if he didn't, then pray for somebody else. Satan's success. Satan's master plan. It'll cause you separation from God. There might be some folks in the church, maybe there's some apps you need to delete off your phone. Maybe you need to come lay that thing on the altar and say, God, I'm giving you those apps. Hey, maybe there's some contacts in your phone. Say, I need to give up that contact, that relationship. I just need to delete it. It's not good for me. It's not good for them. God's not getting the glory. Maybe there's some shows or maybe there's some devices that just need to go. They're not giving God any glory. They're just causing problems. What about it this morning? God spoke to your heart. Would you do business with him? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Oh, if we would let God have his way. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Mold me and make me. Oh, that we would be like him. We live in a world today that wants it both ways. They want the blessings of God. They don't want the sacrifice. They want a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You say, preacher, what in the world would I do if I didn't have my phone or if I didn't have all those apps? Man, spend some time in your Bible. Spend some time with the Word. Get involved in a ministry to keep you busy. There's stuff to do for him. Amen. You can look up here. I appreciate you being good listeners this morning. Church, we need God. We need him. We need him. And I do. I love our church. I love these children. I love our families. And my heart is broke this morning over those that are not in church.
Amen.
And like I said, I probably should have more compassion for the parents, but it's the kids that my heart breaks for. Man, I want to see God save them and do something with them. It's not worth it. Years ago, I don't want to embarrass my sister Ruth, but years ago when Alan was born, I went to the hospital and there were some things between us that maybe weren't right. And I went and told her, I said, Ruth, I'm sorry if I ever did anything to hurt you. And I said, but please, please take your son to church somewhere. I never thought in a million years it would be here. And I'm thankful for it. But I walked in and she'll tell you, I walked in and told her, listen, if you're mad at me, stay mad at me. Hate me for the rest of your life. If you have to. I don't want that, but if you have to. But when she had that baby, I told Sarah, I'm going to the hospital. I don't know if she'll talk to me or not, but I'm going to go in there and talk to her. Why? Because she's saved. Amen. I remember she got saved. She's saved. But she just had a little boy that if she didn't get in church, that little boy might die and go to hell. And that broke my heart. And there's people like that today. We have family like that. So So what do? Man, you try to be a witness to them. And sometimes you got to be bold, but do it with compassion. Let them know you love them. They need to be around the presence of God and not the fake stuff that's going on in this world today. Amen. We need the presence of God.